Good to see you. Let me put that back there. Good to see you. Thank you. Well,
howdy,
everybody. How's everybody doing? It's a joy to be back with you. Thank you for allowing us to come back and fellowship with you. Telling Lewis, we didn't know that today was Potluck Sunday, but we're glad. Last time we were here, which was several months ago, it was the last Sunday in the month, and thinking that it was the first Sunday in the month, they wouldn't have it, so we've made plans, but we are going to stick around for a few afterwards and hopefully get a chance to speak to many of you while we eat what I understand to be some of the finest food in North Georgia. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, and I thank you so much for your kind invitation today. Now, any good professor, I have to go back 2 months. You ready? You knew it was going to happen, right? How many of you were here the first time I was here? All right, so now you get to take the review test. You know? I heard the story of a pastor one time who stood up behind his pulpit and said, "All right, so this is what we're going to teach." And he taught on this particular lesson, and he went for a week. And then the next Sunday he got up and he said, This is what we're going to do. And he taught the same exact lesson. And then the next week came, and he's brand new to the church. And then the next Sunday he taught the same exact lesson. And then about the fourth time, a deacon came up to him and said, "Pastor, you know, we love you and all, but what's up? You taught the same exact lesson 3 Sundays in a row. What's up with that?" To which the pastor replied, he said, "Well, I figure I'll keep teaching until folks start doing it, and then we'll move on." No need covering new materials if the review indicates that nobody got it the first time, right? So if you don't mind, I know that y'all are going to do well. I know you're going to do well. I have high hopes. Such intellectual giants such as Lewis Valentine in the room, you know, it's just an amazing feat. It's just amazing. So, actually, I'm a little disappointed the children left the room because they would get it. You know what I'm talking about? In my years of preaching, people would come up and say, "You know what? My children get this." I said, "Well, I know if the kids are getting it, the adults at least have a chance." So here's the review. John chapter 17, verse 3. You have a Bible? Let's take a look there. I'm a big proponent of folks using the Bible. If you have one, take a look at it. We need to be reading it. And as we continue our worship today, just want to back up and talk about the last question that I asked was, what is eternal life? Remember? What is eternal life? And it's found in John 17, verse 3. Does anybody know the answer to what is eternal life? Yes, ma'am. Yes, you did. Can we all just give applause? Knowing God and Jesus Christ. Let's say it together. Knowing God and Jesus Christ. And so, if you look at John 17:3, you see that's what Jesus is saying. I've got it on good authority, right? If Jesus says it, then it's going to be true. So therefore, this is Jesus' definition of eternal life. And he says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Wow. What a great simplification of the concept of eternal life. Because even though we do have a heaven to go to once we leave the planet, we do, while we're here, get to experience something called eternal life. Because eternal life is not something that you have and actually have possession of in the moment that you die. You have it in the moment that you're born again by the Spirit of the living God. So when you've trusted Christ, and for anyone here who is yet to do that, I encourage you, because if you really want to know what life on planet Earth is all about, you can't know what the temporal life is about until you've been introduced to eternal life. Because eternal life is, say it with me, knowing God and Jesus Christ. So when you were born again by the Spirit of living God, when that day came when you said, God, I'm the sinner, please forgive me, and something took place in your heart and life, one thing that we often kind of marginalize, move to the side, is this idea that something has happened to us who know Christ as our Savior and Lord, that the vast majority of human beings on the planet do not get. And that is that you and I, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the capacity, now get this, we have the capacity to know God. Now, people on the planet who don't know Christ, they have the capacity to know, and this is a big difference. Got another preacher in the room. That's fine with me. Doesn't bother me at all. These folks have the capacity to know about God. But there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. I'll put it like this. This beautiful woman on the front row. I want y'all to know something. I know you're going to kill me. It's all right, baby. 30 years, June the 8th. 30 years. Pray for her. Just think of the turmoil that's taking place in those 30 years. But still, you know something? In our relationship, I know her. Right? Now, I'm picking on Lewis because he's the one who writes the emails to me by and large. And so, right. He's always a good target. And I know Lewis, but I only know about Lewis. Because you know what? I haven't spent time with him. We haven't gone down to the fishing hole. We haven't spent any time together. We haven't broken bread together. He hasn't shared his heart with me. I haven't shared my heart with him. He hasn't shown me who he is. He's given me a little bit of his background. I know a little bit from whence he comes, but that's all I know. But I know about him. I don't know him. So when you come to know Christ, the beautiful thing about that relationship is that God opens the door to his heart and says, come and get it. Come and get it. You can feast on me. And I'm going to make sense out of the world that doesn't make sense to you. And by the way, does this world always make sense to us? Of course not. So when it doesn't make sense, how can we make sense of it? We've been given the gift of eternal life. That is the capacity to, say with me, know God and Jesus Christ. So here's the question. How do we come to know God and Jesus Christ? Got good news for you. Jesus gives us the answer to that one too. So if you just flip over to the left, back in your Bible to John 14... you'll see that in John 14, Jesus is speaking and he's actually beginning this process. You see, what he's doing is he's preparing his disciples to understand this fact that he does not need to be present in order for us to know him. Why? Because he is going to be sending himself, listen to this, in the person of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus is not present, we can still know him because we have been indwelt by what? His Spirit. So you see, physically speaking, for me to get to know my wife, I have to be in proximity to her. I have to be with her. Right? But Jesus is preparing them that he is leaving the planet, but he is not going to leave us orphans. He is going to provide for us, not only for all of our physical type situations, He's going to provide for what is the most important aspect in our life, and that is our spiritual well-being, and that is by sending the person of the Holy Spirit. So if you wanted to read this in context, that's what Jesus is doing. He's telling them, the Holy Spirit is coming. The Father, I've asked Him, He's sending the Spirit. And just as soon as I leave the planet on the day of Pentecost, He's coming and He's going to indwell every believer in me so that you can continue an unbroken line of knowing me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. So in John 14, this is what Jesus says. Verse 20. In that day. Now, what day is that? That's the day of Jesus' absence, but the coming Holy Spirit. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in... And what? I in you. Say it with me. I in you. I in you. Believers, who is in you? The Holy Spirit of living God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ indwells the believer. Now, why does He do that? There are a number of different reasons. I'm going to pick one today because it kind of dovetails with where we picked up on the internal life thing. Watch this. I really get excited when I preach this. You know why? Because it just came alive in me years ago, and it's sort of a life passion for me to be able to share this with people. And in case you're wondering, I have preached this before. And so, yes, some people call it a sugar stick. I love sugar sticks. You know, they just really... But the thing is, it's real. It's real stuff because, you see, I've seen this change lives, and I'm praying this morning that this idea here, this morning, right now, will change the way you get up in the morning. It'll change the way you leave the parking lot. It'll change the way that you leave and go eat supper tonight. It'll change the way you sit around the table with your friends. It'll change the way you go to work and see work for the rest of your life. It'll change the way... you look at your relatives. It'll change the way you look at your enemies. It'll change the way you look at your friends and your loved ones. It'll just change the way you go on vacation. It'll change the way you go to school. It'll change the way you raise your kids. It'll change the way you look at your kids. It'll just change so much if we can get it this morning. And here's the new look. Watch this. Jesus said in verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Watch this. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Now, did you catch that? You see, I was raised in church, like many of you. One of my first waking moments was looking over the pew in the First Baptist Church, my hometown. And I can remember going to church. I think I told you last time I had a drug problem. Every time the church was open, my parents drug me there. It was just one of those things. And so I was introduced to all these concepts at a very early age. And I was taught in Sunday school, and it's a very good teaching, and I appreciate the fact that you guys concentrate on the children. Teaching them the Bible, right? Teaching them the Bible. Well, sometimes you get the idea that why should you learn the Bible? Why do you learn about the Bible? One of the things that was introduced to me was, well, so you can do the right things, right? Now, of course, the Bible is filled with teaching so that you can do the right thing, right? And that's what we want to do. We want to do the right thing. And it was also this, if you don't do the right thing, then God is going to come and correct you. I think that might have been my parents knowing who I was and the little red-headed kid that I was running around the house. That was probably their main motivation. You know, you need to do the scripture thing or what? God's going to get you. Well, okay, so we grow up with that idea, and then what happens? We grow out of that idea because we do some wrong things, and guess what? God doesn't get me. So there's got to be another reason other than that, other than the gotcha principle. And I think Jesus gives it to us here. Why do we study the Bible? Why do we gather together in this place to continue our Sunday morning worship? Because this morning, when you got up, you were in worship, just like every day is an act of worship for the believer. We just happen to be together in corporate worship while we worship through the rest of the day. Do you understand that? And so worshiping together, why do we gather together? It's to learn from God, from His Word. And I appreciate the good, firm stance on God's Word that you have. So when we look at the Scripture, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, when you have My commandments, okay, what are the commandments? It's this book right here. When you have My commandments and you keep them, He who has My commandments and keeps them, He it is who loves Me. So if you're keeping His commandments, how do you evidence the fact that you know Jesus Christ and love Him? It's by keeping His Word, right? So you keep His commandments, you love Me. And he who loves Me shall be loved by My Father, and I will love him. And then, what Jesus says, something is just phenomenal. He says, if you have My commandments and you keep them, then you show that you love Me. And then My Father will love you, and I will love you, and then I will do what? I will show Myself. One of the King James Version, I think, is manifest Myself. My particular version says, disclose Myself to you. Now, anybody in here know sign language? You do? Excellent. I was taught that the word for show in sign language was to hold your hand out. Everybody hold your hand out. Stop in My name. I'm sorry, I got a little carried away. Sorry. Can't get away from the Supremes. All right, so everybody out. And then take your pointy finger and put it right there. Am I correct in that? Show. Show. Look at your neighbor. Show. Show. Disclose. Now, the thing that I love about that is there's nothing up my sleeve. Everything that you see is there. You're showing me. Okay? So show me. When you do that, this is what Jesus says. If you have My Bible, if you have My commandments, if you have My Word, and you're reading it, but you're not just reading it, you're actively, through the power of the Holy Spirit that I just talked about, applying this to your life. If you read, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you get up and go, Holy Spirit of the living God, enable me to love my neighbor like I love myself today, and then you go out and you act on that today, then something significant happens. Not only is your neighbor blessed by you because you're going to love them as you love yourself, not only is the world going to be a better place because you're going to be walking in a spirit of love toward your fellow man, but you, my friend, you get a bonus, a benefit. Jesus, the one who is your life, the one who is eternal life, promises to disclose Himself to you. Now, here's why that's exciting. What's eternal life? Knowing God and Jesus. You do realize this. You do realize that God is not obligated to disclose Himself to us. He's not. He's God. He could be hidden away and we could know nothing of Him. He has chosen to disclose Himself in general to the entire world. He does that through general revelation. The birds, the trees, the creation itself cries out, God is glorious, He's holy, He's just. All of creation shouts, read Romans 1. But more specifically and more personally, and by the way, more intimately, to those who are His children, He says, I've got something special for you. I've really got something special for you. It's not a thing. It's not a blessing. It's not what you think's a miracle. What is the most valuable and precious thing you could possibly have on the planet? It's the knowledge of God. Why? Because that's where the life is. That's where the life is. The life is not in the things that we have, and the cars that we drive, and the houses in which we live, and all this other stuff. You know people who are just miserable, who got lots more than you, right? We all do. Because that's not where the life is. The life is not in things. The life is a person. His name is Jesus. And He says, when we obey His Word, when we apply it to our lives, in the least little bit, He doesn't say you have to do the whole thing. He just says, a little bit. And then I will, what? Show myself to you. I will disclose myself to you. I will let you in on more life. Now, if I had a whiteboard, I'd show you. But I'm going to have to draw it in the air, okay? So instead of air guitar, we're doing air whiteboard, okay? You think about it with me just a minute. And then we're done. You guys are good. You know that? I mean, you really are. Y'all come to school with me, okay? I'll hand out enrollment forms at the end. Look. I like to draw what I call the vicious love cycle. How would you like to get in on a vicious love cycle? Ooh. Hey, honey. All right, if nobody's going to take me up on it, I know God will. Because He's the one that created it. Watch this. So if I had a whiteboard, I'd draw a beginning point, okay? And that's where we come to know God. So God is here, right? And how do I get to know God? I get to know God and I come over here through Jesus Christ, right? And then Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you. He gives me the Holy Spirit so that I can do what? So that I can read, and not only read, but understand and comprehend His Word. You see, this Word is foolishness to those who are perishing. We're not perishing. We're living. Because we have life in us, the life of Christ. And so we have an inside track on understanding and comprehending the Word of God. That's why you can't put the horse before the cart when it comes to understanding the Bible. If you're not in Christ today, if you don't know Him, and you read the Bible, you say, this stuff doesn't make any sense to me. Of course it doesn't. It's only for those who have the life and the capacity to read it and fully comprehend it because the Holy Spirit teaches it. Are you tracking with me? Okay. So, I'm born again. I have God as my Father, Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He gives me capacity through His Spirit to know and understand the Word of God, right? So I'm coming back around here. Now, when I have His commandments, I read it and I apply it. What does Jesus promise? Full disclosure. Well, maybe not full, because you see, if Jesus disclosed Himself fully, if you were able to see Jesus as for who He really is, He would be God. And you remember when Moses wanted to see God, and God said, you can't handle that. I'm only going to give you a glimpse of my back, right? Because if you really saw me in your present state, in your present physical body, you would dematerialize. You would not be able to stand in my presence. You see, the beautiful thing about the new body that we're going to receive, because we have the life that Christ has given us, is that we will have a body that will not dematerialize. It is made for the presence of the living God. Boy, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one. So, you come here, God, Jesus, boom, Word of God. I read it, I apply what I know of it, and then Jesus promises what? Disclose Himself. Now, what does He say will happen? When I do His commandments and I live out His commandments, then that increases my what? My knowledge of God, which increases my love for Jesus, which causes me to go to His Word. No more love God, love Jesus, no more the Word. Love God, love Jesus, no more the Word. And so you see, the entire consensus, it starts here. And it starts spiraling out beyond the building. I know it's crazy. It's just crazy. But you get my drift, right? That's what it is. And in the context of leadership, if you really want to influence people, then you get to know Christ. Because when you influence Christ and you develop this spiral of influence, you can't help but change the world around you. Because your life expands through the knowledge and application of the Word of God and knowing God. Why do you study the Bible? So I can do what God wants me to do. No! So that you can live and experience the life that is Him. So that every morning when you get out of bed and your feet hit the floor, you know something about that day. What day is it? God has me on the planet for a reason. And if I know anything about today, I know it's this. I'm here to know God. So let me read His Word, apply His Word, and then watch through the day is when I run into people. And Jesus discloses Himself. As He enables me to love people that are unlovable. As He enables Himself. As people love me back. That's a great way to live, folks. I invite you to join me on the journey. Okay? So let's wrap this up like this. You can't go with me. And you can't have any of this without Jesus. It's just not for you. It's for special folks that have come to know Christ. Good news, you can come to know Him right now. If you're willing to humble yourself before God and say, God, you know, I've been living this thing. Look at the mess I've made of it. And by the way, I'm going to say that this spiral, it's not all joy and roses. And a lot that you know of God, you know through pain and sorrow and heartache. You say, well, why would God do that? Because He loves us and wants us to know Him. You see, but the thing about this is, you have a new way to interpret pain. Pain is just not some capricious thing that lands in your lap. No more. This is going to be hard. It becomes a gift that we can receive from God to say, God, it's here for me to know You. I don't know how I'm going to know it. Look at Paul. When he's writing the letter to Philippi, where is he? He's in a jail, chained to a wall. And he says, count it all joy, my brethren. Why? He says this. He said, I am running a race. Why? So that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that I might, say it with me, know Him every day, that I might know Him. If you don't know Christ, you can know Him right now. Let me pray for us. Thank You, Father.